everybody turn off the lights real quick. Every light you can, even the light on the screen. All the lights on the stage, be so kind, turn them all off. Yes, even that light. Got one more. Oh, okay, yeah, the other light. Really? It's just flipping a switch. Who's back? Okay, there we go. Now, ushers, you're about to go and give and receive offering, right? Now, I just made your job more difficult because of darkness. Now, because of this darkness, you could run into one another. Because of this darkness, you could run, you know, into somebody else out there. Because of this darkness, you wouldn't be able to see the offering plate whenever it comes to the other end. Because of this darkness, it made your job to be that much harder. It'd be very difficult for you to fulfill your duty because of this darkness. And not just you, ushers, but everybody here in the congregation. Because of the darkness, you all, like, you pull out your wallet and you want to give the $1 bill, but instead that you slip a 50, which is, I'm thinking, probably is a good idea right now, you know? You know, but because of that, you all, you couldn't, you know, see if you had a boogie in your nose. I mean, you couldn't read the bulletin. You couldn't read the Bible. You couldn't take notes because of this darkness. But check this out. I'm about to give everybody in here a solution. You ready? Y'all ready for the solution? I need everybody in here to close your eyes on the count of three. One, two, three, close them. Did that work? You can answer, y'all. No, it didn't work. It didn't work. It only created more darkness. There's only one solution to this problem. Only one thing that will remedy darkness. And that's, men and women, light. Go ahead and turn on the lights real quick. You all can give your offering now. All right? The light. I hope none of you all took naps while you were there, all right? Church, adding darkness in the middle of darkness only created more darkness. Makes sense. If you add darkness to an existing dark situation, it only creates more darkness. Now, we can apply that to life. Adding more darkness to an existing dark situation doesn't resolve the problem whatsoever. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. addressed this. And he said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, for only love can do that. And these were more than just words for Dr. Martin Luther King. He lived this out. On September 28th, 1962, in Birmingham, Alabama, Dr. Martin Luther King was given the final speech at the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And you all, the auditorium was filled. It was filled with civil rights leaders and religious leaders from all over the South. Filled. But in the middle of the auditorium, something stood out. It was a 6 foot, 200 pound white man by the name of Roy James. Roy James was sitting six rows from the front. And nobody knew this at the time, that Roy James was a stormtrooper of the American Nazi Party. Now think about it. He's a stormtrooper in the American Nazi Party, and he is attending a conference filled with people that go completely against his agenda, against his will, against his goals. And he's hearing speaker after speaker after speaker talk about exactly what he's against. The thing that he fights against, they're rooting for. And he's sitting there. And then Dr. Martin Luther King shows up. And he's giving the closing speech. And now, this is the big wig. This is Dr. King. We've seen him all on the news. He's causing all of this ruckus in the United States right now. And again, he and Roy is sitting six rows from the front. And he's listening to minute after minute after minute of Dr. King till he couldn't take anymore. And Roy James stormed out of his seat, rushed to the stage and with all of this 200-pound might punched the 5'7" Dr. King directly in his face, square on the cheek, staggering Dr. King so much that he did a partial turn, and they tackled, and then he tackled Dr. King and began to punch him, punch after punch after punch. Now, the crowd at first was in shock, like, what is going on? And after punch after punch after punch is happening, finally, a bunch of folks, they get up, and they pull Roy off of the bloody and swollen Dr. King. Crowd was in shock. And then it turned from shock to anger. Then they were like, wait a minute. You go come to our function, to our conference, and you have the nerve to place your evil fist upon this godly man's face? I ain't having that. So a bunch of good old men, they circled around Roy. They start shouting at that dude, and they was waiting for that one person to get it all, to get it on and popping. Bow, just to strike him. But what happens in the midst of that, what interrupts this violence is truly supernatural. That bloody and that swollen Dr. King looked at the crowd, looked at those men, and he said, nobody touch him. Nobody touch him. Then he said, we have to pray for him. True story. Nobody touch him. We have to pray for him. And while the crowd was following their leader's orders and praying for this evil man, Dr. King cut his speech short, took the man by the hand, took him into a private room where they discussed, calmly discussed their issues. Then Dr. King assured the man that he will receive no harm and granted him safe passage out of that building. And history also says that for some time, kept in communication with that man. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Last week I started a sermon series called Things I Wish Jesus Never Said. And for some people in here, that rubs you the wrong way. And that's okay. That's all right. But if we be honest to ourselves, is it easy to follow God's commandments? Some of them. Now, God says, hey, yo, Richard, you know, like, insert whatever sin, okay? Insert whatever sin. And I'm cool. Like, I don't steal. It ain't hard for me to do. God said, don't steal. Okay, I ain't gonna steal. I'm cool with that. For some folks, that may be a problem, but it's not for me. But everybody in here, there's something that God says that kind of rubs you the wrong way a little bit. And sometimes your flesh says, I wish Jesus never said that. Last week, we were on the sermon, we were on the main idea of God said to lose your life, that you need to deny yourself, pick up your cross, the tool of execution, and follow him. That's a tall order. I have to deny myself, my pleasantries, my will, my understanding. I have to deny everything about me and follow you. And you're telling to take up my cross? Like, again, the cross was a tool of execution. So that means that I'm going to have to endure shame. I'm going to have to endure pain, rejection, and follow you? And you want me to follow you with those instructions? You don't have to lose my life. Sometimes that's tough to hear. That's tough to do. And sometimes we wish Jesus never said that. This week, were there some things that we wish Jesus never said sometimes? He said in Matthew 5, to love your enemies. In Matthew 5, Jesus is saying that you have heard consistently from the world and its leaders constantly telling you to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. The world says only love and only commune, only serve, only encourage, only fellowship with people that share the same interests as you, the same goals as you, the same economic climate as you, the same economic status as you. And here's a big one, especially in conservative Ozarks, only commune with those people with the same political affiliation as you. Step on some toes right there. We like to link up with people that looks like us, talk like us, act like us, because it's very little arguing, very little fighting with one another, and we look the same. We dress the same, we look the same, we act the same, we talk the same, and we wonder why the power of God isn't strong in our lives. Because we're just the same. There's no variety. There's no diversity. It's just like my will be done. Jesus addressed that. The world is telling you to do all of these things, but me, the creator of the universe, me, the king of kings, me, the great I am, telling you to love your enemies. Love those who actively work against you. You know how tough that is? To love somebody who fights against what you stand for? If you think that it ain't that difficult, wait till next election. I said it. But I love you as well as you are. Now, Christians, we would like to assume that we have this all together. We're Christians. If we don't understand anything, we understand love, right? But in 2018, I would say that can be further from the truth. In fact, I think Christians are the main people who get it wrong. God gives us a clear picture of love. A lot of times as Christians, we reject it. And then we say stuff like, I'm just going to love them from a distance. I'm guilty of saying something like that. And if you over here telling me that you ain't never thought of that or you never said that, then you a bald head lie. All right? Sorry, y'all. That's a black term. Don't worry about it. All right? Now think about this. Have you ever said that or experienced that? Like, I'm going to love somebody from a distance. Or have you heard somebody say that? There couldn't be a more pseudo, fake, watered down version of love than loving somebody from a distance. Now, but hear me. In some extreme circumstances and some extreme conditions, and I do mean extreme, then loving somebody from a distance is acceptable. I'm a married man. I would be foolish to pursue a lovey-dovey relationship with my ex-girlfriend while I'm married. I would be foolish. I'm called to love, I need to love them from a distance, right? So those are the extreme situations I'm talking about. And you need, and God blessed you with discernment, so you can have discernment and choose wisely of how to love somebody. But what I'm talking about, you all, it's the situations that when we have interactions with people and they are different from us, completely different from us. And many times we come to the conclusion that we don't like them, and our default button to press is, oh, I'm just gonna love them from a distance. They don't vote like I do, I'm gonna love them from a distance. They keep interrupting me, I'm gonna love them from a distance. They just kind of get on my nerves, I'm gonna love them from a distance. What? You know, again, but Christians, we like to say these Christian terms. Let's just keep it real and honest, you know? That's not love. We're tolerating people. We are not loving men and women. We're tolerating men and women. And God didn't call us to tolerate people. He calls us to love them, which includes tolerating them. Please, man, come on now. Don't tell me I'm the only one in here that is guilty of that. When I say that God whooped my tail in this sermon, he whooped my tail. He was like, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. Now know my word, and now live my word, now preach it. I'm like, well, thanks a lot, God, you know? Hear this, church. If you have problems loving people because they're arrogant, if you have problems loving people because they constantly interrupt you, if you fail, you know, to love people because of whatever situation that may be. You all know, just think about whatever situation that causes you to really, really fail in loving somebody. Insert your own situation. Those small offenses. And again, those things are small offenses. Hear this, church. This is serious. If we fail to love people who commit small offenses, how can we possibly think that we can love others who commit big offenses? You know those big offenses. A mother or father who abandoned you. A spouse that cheated. Someone who sexually abused you or physically abused you, verbally abused you, a friend that betrayed you. How can we love people, our enemies, in these situations when all of this small stuff trips us up? The answer is, church, is we can't. We can't, men and women. Jesus said to love our enemies. In church, if I have never pleaded with you in any sermon, hear this. If Richard Marx were to die today, hear these words. Hear my plea. Love each other. Love each other. Not tolerate, not endure. Love each other. Love your enemies. Again, Matthew 5, he addresses it. I'm not just talking to love people that's easy to love. I'm not saying that. It's easy for me to love Josh Hill. He a cool dude. I can kick it. We got a lot in common. It's a lot easy for me to love Heath Barnes. I'm kicking with the dude. We got a lot in common. We talk. It's easy. It's really hard for me to. No, I'm just joking. I'm not going to. I'm joking. Identify your enemies in your head and love them. Allow me to give you only 2 points of only two, what I believe are main reasons why we should love one another. Just two. First reason, let's read Matthew 5, verse 44 through 45. Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 44 through 45. It says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. verse 45 gives us the why. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. And we'll repeat that. So you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Now, this is what this verse is saying. Love and pray for everyone, even your enemies, so that you can act like your daddy who is in heaven. And your daddy consistently shows his beauty and his grace on good and on evil, and the just and the unjust. Everyone gets the chance to experience God's blessings because God sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for everybody's sins so that every girl and every boy and every man and every woman can have access to himself. The word says that for everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everybody. That's big. You mean to tell me that if a registered sex offender calls on the name of the Lord, he will be saved? Yes. But that's an enemy, right? If anybody should be an advocate, you know, if anybody's an advocate for children, surely your enemy is somebody that abuses them, right? That's my enemy. And God goes, okay, love them. Give them the gospel. For all who call the name of the Lord will be saved. I love the end of verse 45. It says, for he makes his sun rise on the good and the evil. I'm sorry. For he makes his sun rise on the good. I'm sorry. He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and unjust. This is what that verse is saying, right? That all of God's creation experienced the sun. And all of God's creation experiences a rain. Now, what he's saying right there is all of God's people can experience God's grace. All of the creation experienced the grace. Even those who don't know him experience God's grace. How? Because everybody in here, right? Everybody in here at once was an enemy of God, right? God sent his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Our sins. And even though you deserve separation from God immediately, God says, I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ, to woe it. Whoa, hold on. Hold on, hold on. I know they deserve immediate death, but let me step in between God and man. Let's give them an opportunity to know me. Then they can go to heaven. You deserve immediate damnation, immediate separation from God forever. I do too. But God slowed it by sending the son Jesus Christ. Dennis's brother ran away from God for 40 years. 40 years. Now he knows Jesus Christ today. Jesus Christ said, hold on, wait, wait. Let me pursue him. For how long? In my mind, I'm going to pursue him for 40 years. Well, 40 plus years. Because even after he knows me, I'm going to pursue him even more so he can know me. So day after day, once he was an enemy of God, he loved him, loved him, loved him. Pursued a relationship, pursued a relationship, pursued a relationship. Think about it. I'm saying pursue a relationship. Now, I ain't saying I'm going to tolerate you. God didn't say, oh, look at Dennis's brother. All right, what I'm going to do, I'm going to tolerate him for 40 years. No. God said, I'm going to pursue a relationship with him. So when you love your enemies, that means you pursue a relationship with your enemies. Things I wish Jesus never said. For the sun rises on everybody. And the rain falls on everybody. One of my favorite children's songs of all time is This Little Light of Mine. Y'all know? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Who do you let it shine on? Everybody who comes in contact with you. Good and evil. I'm going to let the light that's inside, that lives inside of me to shine on everybody. The Project 310, you know, that bring your tithes and offerings to the house, and God will open up the floodgates of heaven and rain down blessings on you till there's no more need. Now, who's he raining down blessings on? God's children, you. So what do you need to do in response of that? When God opened up those floodgates and that rain falls on you till there's no more need, since it's happening on you, it should happen by you to others. Y'all get what I'm saying? I know this is tough. I know this is tough, but whenever we do this, we look more like him, and our world would be a much more beautiful place. This world. Thy kingdom come on what? Earth as it is in heaven. We can see God's reign right here, right now, in every situation. Because of what you bring to the situation. We do all of these things, men and women, because our daddy does it. In John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Beautiful, right? In Matthew 5:14, he says, you are the light of the world. God says, I am the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world. Monkey see, monkey do. Be imitators of me. 1 John 4:9 says, for we love each other. Why? Because Christ first loved us. Imitating our daddy. Here's my first point, church. We love our enemies because God loves his. Why should we love our enemies? Because God loves his. And by the way, Christians, think about this. At one point, every person in here was an enemy of God. Every single person in here. But he did something about that, right? So we should go mimic that behavior. Amen? Here's my final point. Why should we love our enemies? Because the world needs to see our love for each other. The world needs to see our love for each other. You know who inspired me to be a godly husband? Godly husbands. That simple. You know who inspired me to be a godly father? Godly fathers. Men lived God-honoring lives before my very eyes, and I grabbed a hold of the same gospel that they lived out. And I am radically changed today from what I saw in the lives of other men. Shows you how important you are. You think about this. Those men, the Ricky Jimersons, the Stephen Moores, the Ray Archicas, the Marvin Daniels, those men that I saw, they had no clue. They woke up day after day after day after day. The times they were getting the word, they had no idea that one day I was going to, you know, come in contact with them, that one day I was going to follow their lead, that I was going to admire them. They had no idea, but they were living their God-honoring lives. And then God interrupted my path of destruction by bringing these godly men in my path. Again, I'm going through a path of destruction. And then God interrupted my path of destruction with those men. And I got to behold them. I got to examine them. I got to live life with them. And I saw the gospel in them. And I became what I behold. Men and women, you will become what you will behold. The world will become what they behold. And if they behold sin, if they constantly observe sin and rejection and hate, then the world will become rejection and hate. But you Christians, you have the life that leads to life. So when you show up, God shows up and they behold you. And if the world becomes what they behold and they behold the Christ that lives inside of you, what do you think will happen to them? You are incredibly special. You are incredibly special. So let's treat everybody like they're special. Even our enemies. We hear all of the time, this world has gone to hell. This world is full of darkness. Darkness is absence of light. So if we are the light of the world, maybe it's our responsibility to bring the light to the darkness. John 13, 34 through 35 says this. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Hear this. And I say this verse all the time. Verse 35. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What will extinguish the flames of abortion that's going on in this world? Love. What will extinguish the flames of division in this world? Love. What would mend broken families? Love. What will cause an end to addictions? Love, 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 love is the only answer. That's it. Think about this. How can people know the love of Jesus Christ without the love of Jesus Christ being displayed by his followers? Repeat that. How can people know the love of Jesus Christ when the love of Jesus Christ is not being displayed by his followers? Church, this world is full of darkness. But the light that is inside of you drives out that darkness. Pastor, what are you telling me to do? You mean to tell me that I need to love the people that caused me all of this destruction? Love the person who cheated on me? Love the person who manipulated me? Love the person who abused me? Love the person who slandered my name through the mud? Love the person who made false claims about me, love them? Yes. Why? Because God said so. That is the only way to bring beauty to this world, is to love one another. Again, you all, it's easy to love people who are easy to love. You hear me? It's easy to love people who are easy to love. But God says, even not followers of me do that. I'm calling you to do something different. Church, my challenge to you is to love the enemy. Love your enemy. Amen? I said that the world is full of darkness and but the light that is inside of us drives out that darkness. VBS is one of those lights. Now, it breaks my heart that we have to have VBS in the first place. Again, it breaks my heart that we have to have VBS in the first place, because here's why. Our main goal for doing VBS is so kids can know Jesus. Main goal. Or are you to say only goal? And so kids can know Jesus Christ. And it breaks my heart that kids don't know Jesus Christ. Maggie's 5 years old. She's five. And I'm so excited that she gets to experience VBS this year. And Heidi and I, we got a hat and we were praying for all of the kids, and we prayed for Maggie that God will soften up that little girl's heart, that she will hear the gospel, understand the gospel, and accept the gospel at a young age. Heidi and I were praying for that, constantly praying for it. But this is the cool thing about Maggie. She hears the gospel every single day. For any time that girl is in the walls of the house, 275 Oakview Drive, you're going to hear the gospel. You're going to hear the gospel before we eat. You're going to hear the gospel before you use the bathroom. You're going to hear the gospel before you go to bed. You're going to hear the gospel whenever you wake up. You are going to hear the gospel. And it is my goal, Heidi's goal, to make sure those girls know Jesus. And I rejoice at that. But it breaks my heart knowing that many of the kids that Maggie is going to sit alongside doesn't have that opportunity. They're going to go home and their parents is as wicked as all get out. They don't know Jesus. They're not loving their kids like they're supposed to. They're not serving their kids. They're not encouraging their kids. They're not giving the kids the tools that they need for life in a God-honoring life. They're not. So the leaders of VBS, so Rachel and I'm saying Danielle, so all of these folks, they got together and like, what can we do to interrupt their path of destruction? Let's create VBS and let's make it cool enough so they can have fun. Let's make it media enough so they can understand the gospel. And let's get them to come back. Let's make these flyers and let us go pick them up. Let's go drop them off. Let's feed them. Let's give them the gospel so we can interrupt their lives in the path of destruction so they can hear the gospel and live a God-honoring life for the rest of their lives so they can have a relationship with Him. That's why we do what we do. Because we love our enemies. That's why we do what we do. Church, love. Love. Just love. Forgive love. Some people in here may be enemies of Jesus Christ right now. You may be enemies of Jesus. Today is today. Today is the day for you to submit your life to Christ. Today is the day you submit underneath His pursuit. He's calling you. You are here for a reason and to hear the specific message. You are an enemy of God. That's the bad news, but the good news is God loves our enemies. And He wants to interrupt your life of destruction. In your possible eternal life of destruction, of damnation. He wants to meet you in that, interrupt that path, and give you Himself. Give you a relationship with Him. And He does all of that because He loves you. And you saints, we are called to mimic that love to everybody. No matter how difficult it may be, amen. Ushers, if you could come to the front real quick. Let's go back to these kids. Our goal is for 40 kids to get saved. I wish all of them got saved. 40 kids. That's 40 kids that will hear the gospel. 40 kids that will go right back to their moms and dads or grandmas or the aunts, whoever guardian there is. 40 kids to give them the gospel, to tell them what they learned here at VBS. That the gospel will radically meet their parents in their life of destruction. And God will interrupt their path so that they may accept Jesus, have everlasting life. We are praying for 40 or more plus parents to know Jesus. You all, it's our duty to make sure that happens. Here up front, there are these flyers. And in these flyers, it's telling them about VBS. It's much more than just coming up here and hearing about the carnival stuff, y'all. They are giving them the word. And it's our responsibility to make sure that the word, that the world hears the word of God. And this is the perfect opportunity. What the ushers are going to do, they're going to get these flyers. And they're going to hand you a stack. And what we're just asking you all to do is use people in your spheres of influence. Like, you know those people. Hand them out. If they got kids, tell them about it. And if you don't know what to say, let the flyer do the speaking for you. Huh? Read that. Love to see you. Know that the Holy Spirit is miles ahead of you anyway. You are. How about we give them the gospel, love our enemies? Amen. I need everybody to stand real quick. Ushers, you can go ahead and start getting the flyers. Uh-oh, you already got it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There might be some people in here that don't know Jesus. And God is telling you right now, today is the day to know him. Today is the day. That you don't want to be an enemy of God anymore. That you vow to follow him all the days of your life. And you all just know that you won't do this on your own. God said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. Don't worry about doing it on your own, for God lives inside of you and he will give you the path to victory. Because he is the path to victory. If there's anybody in here that don't know Jesus, but would like to know him today, with every head bowed and with every eye closed, will you be so bold of raising your hand right now? If there's anybody in here that don't know Jesus, and you would like to know him right now, please raise your hand. Saints, and the world would know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. Love our enemies. Amen. Amen. As we worship, ushers, send out some flyers. Amen.